there happens to be quite a confluence of events happening right now. When Rabbi Aryeh Charka asked me to give one of the lectures for Midrash Yom Rishon, we both did not have a calendar in front of us, and we just said a Sunday, we said December 22nd. And of course, reading yesterday's parsha and seeing what we're into right now in Parshas Shavua, we're right into the question of how a leader gets selected and what the qualities of a leader are. So this is a most appropriate time-related topic to talk about. It's appropriate for two other reasons as well. You have certainly been reading the newspapers recently. It's been a big deal that a woman has now conducted a particular orchestra, which has only had two other women conduct at any time in its history, and it's over 100 years of history. And there's a discussion going on now about why women are so seldom chosen to be conductors, and why it is that musicians might resent having a woman leading them. An interesting thing to consider. There's also a lot of discussion going on now about why the major characters in films, which color so much of our culture, are inevitably men. And just the beginning of dawning of Superwoman, Wonder Woman, and characters like that. It may not seem particularly pertinent to what's going on in Jewish leadership, but what's happening in the outside world affects what's happening in the inside world and makes us think about leadership. I must mention one other thing that I know about because of my husband being the senior mashgiach ruchani here at Yeshiva. Right now, there are seven young men who are returning from a levaya at a cemetery in New Jersey for a man who left absolutely no family behind. And Rabbi Herbert Dobrinsky has more than once been called on to take care of a situation like this. He called my husband right before Shabbos when he had just found out about this and asked him if my husband would come, Rabbi Dobrinsky would be there. The rabbi, I don't know where the rabbi is from, but the rabbi was going to be there, but they needed seven young men to make the minyan. This has happened before. My husband has been here, thank God, for over 36 years, and he never has a problem. All he had to do last night, after Shabbos, after Maariv, was to announce in the Beis Medrash that he needed seven young men to be ready to go in a van at 9:15 this morning to a cemetery in New Jersey. So there should be a minyan at a person's levaya. And immediately he had seven volunteers to go. And I think that that shows these students are in the correct program. These are smicha students, and the essence of being a rav, the essence of being a Jewish leader, the first most important quality is responsibility, that you have responsibility for the klal, and if there's somebody who's going to be without a proper levaya, then you can't say, let somebody do it. You are somebody. And that seven young men immediately volunteered says a great deal. And they should just be coming back soon from levaya. But it's an excellent prelude to talking about leadership. Of course, if we look at leadership in the world around us, we could begin to question what exactly goes into being a leader, certainly a political leader. There was a wonderful line in a Gail Collins column at the beginning of November. She was talking about the results of the elections in New Jersey, and she said, and I copied this quote out for talking about leadership, really, in New Jersey, you're just happy to know a candidate is not currently under indictment, which says a great deal about what we're expecting of leadership. In Jewish life, we have very different expectations of what a leader should be all about. What would you say are some of the qualities that we expect in Jewish life in a leader? What are some of the most important qualities? Louder? What are some of the most important qualities? Thank you. Ethics, absolutely, ethics, critical. You have to be able to trust the person. He has to be honest, he has to be trustworthy. What else? Observance of Torah Mesorah, for sure. Because what's Jewish life all about? Being a Jew means being obligated by mitzvos. And if a person doesn't feel he's obligated by mitzvos, he already is negating a central purpose of living as a Jew. What else? Caring about the people that you serve. Having a sense of compassion for the people that you serve. Those are very critical qualities in being a Jewish leader. Did you have one more? Yes, having the kind of qualities that people should want to emulate. It's very important to be me'urav im habrios, to know how to get along with people. A leader who is cold or cynical or feels himself very reserved and away from the people that he's leading, the people that he's serving, automatically is turning people off by his cold demeanor. There has to be a certain warmth and a certain quality of friendliness. When you hear the stories about Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, what was one of his great qualities? The smile, the demeanor, the friendship, the caring about another person's feelings. I'm sure you all know the story as well as I do, of when he got on a bus and a woman sat next to him, dressed totally, totally inappropriately. And really, the next stop was his stop to get off. But he felt if he stood up immediately after she had sat there next to him, what would her interpretation of it be? Ah, he's criticizing me. He's saying, look at her and her no sleeves and her short whatever she was wearing, and that's why he's getting up to leave. So Rav Auerbach purposely stayed on the bus for another stop to indicate, I'm getting off of my stop. I'm not getting off because you sat down next to me. That kind of considerateness for another person's feelings. So those are some of the requirements for being a Jewish leader. And we see from the story of Moshe how a leader got chosen, how our first leader got chosen. I must mention immediately, I am going to give examples of men, although there are plenty of examples of women as leaders in Jewish life, starting from Sarah Imenu and from Hashem telling Abraham, Kol Asher Tamarei Lecha Sarah Shema B'Kolah, listen to what Sarah has to say. Her opinions are valid. Don't discount them. Oh, a woman. Esther was certainly a leader. I won't go into all the brilliance of her psychological playing on Ahasuerus to get him to worry about why Haman Yimach Shemo was being invited to these private parties so that she can, in one day, turn around King Ahasuerus from being best friends to being, who is this man that's trying to come in on my relationship with my wife? Beria, brilliant, brilliant insights from Beria. Deborah. And Deborah actually said to Barak, you know, if I come along with you on the battle, people will say it's a woman who led the Jewish people on this occasion. But he wasn't worried about that. He knew a good leader when he saw one, and he told him not to worry. So Moshe was chosen to be the leader. We've just been reading about it. What happens as soon as he takes Bnei Yisrael, as soon as he takes the Jewish people out of Egypt? The immediate reaction at Yam Suf, as they are going through the miracle of Exodus from Egypt, is your first source, Hamidli Enkvarim Mitzrayim, Lekachtanu Lamus Bamidbar, Mazal Sosisalanu, Lehotziyam Mitzrayim. As soon as they're going out, they're complaining already. The Egyptians are behind us. We haven't yet seen all the miracle. Take us back to Egypt. You're not being a very good leader. And he has to say to them, Al Tira'u, don't be so frightened. Hisyatzvu Uru'u Es Yeshuas Hashem. Stand still and see the salvation of Hashem. And this is the best introduction to what Jewish leadership is all about through the ages. We are a crabby lot of people, and we always have a lot to say about what's wrong with this Rav, that teacher, that Rebbe. We always have a lot to criticize. And that started right from Moshe Rabbeinu. And I think I got a very good lesson in leadership from my father, Zichron Lebracha, because he was known as speaking against making public protests for the Jews in Russia. And when I began to head a school for Rabbi Riskin, Opinar Torah, which I worked at from 1976 to 1981, Rabbi Riskin wanted the students to go to a protest. And I said to my father, what should I do? You're known as being against protests, and if I go and lead my students to a protest, people say, oh, you see, even Rabbi Titus' daughter goes to the protest. What's he talking about? So my father said, no, your students should go to the protest. I said, why? He said, because young people should protest. That's for young people to do. But there have to be some older people in the community who are open to negotiation and are open to diplomacy. He said, why? At that point, he'd already made 20 trips to Russia. He and my mother made two more trips after that. He said, why have I gotten a visa 20 times to go to Russia? And all these people who are leading the protests are being denied visas. And what do I do when I have the visa? I go into Russia, I bring knives for the mohel, I bring chalofim for the yishochim, I bring sidurim, I bring Tanakh for the modern Russian translation, I bring tefillin, I bring talesim, I bring smoked meat from David Hill 99, Reverend David Hill's 999, so people can eat some fleishiks. I bring all kinds of things in, and I let them know we care about you. They're not hearing about the protests in Russia, but they know when somebody comes into their shul, and they know when somebody comes into their community. So he said, let the kids protest, and you decide what you want to do. What I did in the end was to have my assistant principal take the kids to the protest, because I felt if I would be seen there, it would arouse all kinds of talk that I didn't want to have. But the kids did go. So I said to my father afterward, you know, people are saying that you're a tool of the NKVD, and people are saying that you're being fooled by the Russian government. Why do you allow this to happen? Why don't you say what your real motive is? My father said, leadership is not a popularity contest. Let everybody say whatever they want to say about me here in New York. The important thing is, in Riga, and in Moscow, and in Tashkent, am I able to get there? That's the important thing. So let everybody say what they want to say. I'm not here for a popularity contest. To me, that was a tremendous lesson. Sometimes you have to do things that will not be understood. And sometimes you have to do things that people will criticize. But you have to understand, you are an Eved Hashem. And how is Moshe described? How is his leadership described? Ha'ish Moshe Anav Mikol Adam. He was more humble and more modest. And what was the highest accolade Hashem could give about him? B'chol Beisi Ne'eman Hu. He was faithful to what he was supposed to do. Did you have another pasuk in mind, Mrs. Lerner? Did you have another pasuk in mind, or were you thinking of that? B'chol Beisi Ne'eman Hu. Oh, because I saw you look up. Okay, so that was the pasuk that expressed he was faithful to Hashem's directive. That's what a Jewish leader is all about. And in fact, when David HaMelech was passing the scepter over to his son, to King Shlomo, in Source 2, which comes from Divrei Hayamim, what did he say first? L'cha Hashem ha'gdula v'ha'tveveres v'ha'nezach v'ha'hod. L'cha Hashem ha'malcha v'ha'mesasei l'cha l'rosh. The greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty, they all belong to Hashem. The kingdom is yours, Hashem. And you are exalted as head above all. That is the awareness with which a leader has to function every single minute. He is not there for his ego. He is not there for himself. He's there to serve Hashem. And in fact, now that I prepared this talk, when I daven every morning, and this is what we say, just when we come to Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen V'Amen, every time I repeat this, I think to myself of the awareness that a leader has to have. No ego, no arrogance. L'cha Hashem ha'gdula. That's how Shlomo should conduct his kingship. That's how a Jewish leader conducts leadership. And in fact, how is the king supposed to behave according to Devarim? L'vilti rum l'vavo me'achav u'vilti sar sur min ha'mitzvah yamin u'smol. A king is not allowed to be haughty. He's not allowed to deviate from the mitzvos. He's not above the Torah. He's there to serve observance of mitzvos. He's there to serve Hashem. He's not supposed to have his heart lifted up above his brothers. And he's not supposed to turn away from the commandments. In fact, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out in a discussion of Jewish leadership that there's always going to be a tension because power does inflate one's ego. And there's always a tension between the inflated ego and the feeling that I've got power, I can do what I please, and the need for popular approval. So a Jewish leader has to watch out for that tension between the two. Not to feel I'm so powerful, and not to feel I can do as I please, and the rules don't apply to me, and not to feel that I must seek popular approval, and therefore I must do things that I really think are either questionable ethically, questionable from what the Torah tells us to do. A Jewish leader is not supposed to be a Pied Piper looking for which way the crowd is going and rushing to be at the head. The Jewish leader has to be a Pied Piper, if he's going to be one, who is leading the people, not trying to win just popular approval. What does Shmuel say when he is handing over the leadership of the Jewish people to a king, to Shaul HaMelech? Here he is at the end of his life, And just as David at the end of his life had to say, keep Hashem above you, a Jewish leader has to be aware. Shmuel, I was always stunned by this. He said, Hinnini anu bi neged Hashem v'neged Mashicho. Look what he's saying. Eshor mi lakachti. V'chamor mi lakachti. V'esmi ashakti. V'esmi ratzosi. U'miyad mi lakachti kofer v'alimei nagbo v'ashiv lachem. Tell me, whose ox did I take? Whose donkey did I take? Whom did I defraud? Whom did I oppress? From whose hand did I take a bribe and close my eyes and pretend this didn't happen? I'll give it back to you. If anybody can tell me I took something that was not mine properly and legally and correctly, let me give it back. But I realize now, why does Shmuel have to say this? He had to show that a Jewish leader must be above reproach. There could be no question in anyone's mind of whether this leader is out for himself or if he's serving the Jewish people. And that's why we're told in the Gemara, in the discussion in Shkalim, Daf Ches Amud Aleph, that to fulfill what it says in Bamidbar, you must be innocent from Hashem and from Israel. Not only in the eyes of people, but in the eyes of Hashem. There can be no appearance of wrongdoing. So the Gemara quotes this verse when it says that when people went into the Beis HaMikdash who had to deal with public money in the Beis HaMikdash, they were not allowed to wear shoes, they were not allowed to wear sandals, they were not allowed to have any folds in their garments, they couldn't have cuffs on their sleeves, and they couldn't wear an amulet of any kind of decoration. Because what might the suspicion be if a person went in with cuffs on his sleeves, with sandals, with shoes, with that, that he might be tucking something in? So that was the extent to be the Yisem Nikiyim, the Hashem of Yisrael. That's why in the Beis HaMikdash, for goodness sake, people were certainly wearing the Beis HaMikdash when they're dealing with public money, what responsibility they have. And even there, the Gemara tells us, they had to be careful not to wear anything that might lead to a possible suspicion that they were taking anything for themselves. A leader also has to realize that he can't succumb to popularity contests. And that was a mistake that Shaul made when he became king. When he conquered Amalek, and he had clear instructions from Shmuel, straight from Hashem, don't take any booty, don't keep anything alive, certainly don't keep Agag, the king of Amalek, alive. And then Shmuel comes, and he hears the sound of the animals, and he hears that things have indeed not been gotten rid of. And Shmuel said to him, what is the sound that I'm hearing? And Shaul answers, Yoresi es ha'am v'eshma b'kolam. I was afraid of the people, and I listened to their voice. And of course, that's the reason that he loses the monarchy, because he doesn't know how to be a proper Jewish leader. It can't be that you're afraid of the people. You just led a successful military campaign. The end of that campaign was supposed to be elimination of the enemy, and you didn't fulfill that. End of your monarchy. Who is a person who shows proper leadership? I mentioned already Moshe. And in Shmos just now we read, U'Moshe hayo ro'eh eson Yisro. And the Medrash tells us in Shmos Rabbah that v'chano HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe batzon. The Hashem tested Moshe through the way that he was a shepherd. And you all know the story, which I'll just repeat very quickly. K'shaya Moshe Rabbeinu ro'eh eson Moshe Yisro b'midbar, barach mimenu gedi. A little goat ran away and reached a place to rest itself. There was a pool of water there, and the little animal went to drink. Kevan shehigia Moshe etzlo, when Moshe came nearby, Amar, I didn't know that you were running because you were thirsty. You must be tired now. That's what he said to the little animal.
he put him onto his shoulder. And that's how he walked back to the rest of the flock. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yeshecha Rachamin, Minhog Tzonel Shobasar, Shobasar Adam, Kachayecha, Atah Tiren Tzonei Yisrael. You have the right approach. You know how to lead sheep. You'll know how to lead the sheep of humanity. You're the one who can lead my people. I'm Yisrael. And that was how he proved his worthiness through that compassion and that responsibility to be a leader of the Jewish people. David also had a test through caring for animals. And when he's being tested about whether he has the proper attributes to be the one to go and fight Goliath, which in the end is going to lead to his becoming the king of the Jewish people, what are we told? He explained, Roeh haya achdecha b'tzom, uva ha'arim es hadov neflat tzom me'ha'eder. He was the shepherd. Again, a very interesting test for the Jewish people. A shepherd takes care of dumb animals and has to be the one who is the brains and the responsible one for caring for those animals. There has to be a lot of compassion in the shepherd. And a lion and a bear came and carried away one of the sheep from the flock. V'yatzasi achrav v'hisid v'tzafini piv. I went down after that sheep and I hit, I guess, the lion, and I saved the sheep from his mouth. V'yakam alai v'chazaki v'skano v'hikisid v'anisiv. He rose up against me, and I was strong. I grabbed the beard of the lion, and I hit him, and I killed him. So he...
Under what circumstances did he say this?
When it was considered whether he should be the one to go and fight Goliath. And he was saying he has the wherewithal to go and fight. Yeah. So he was saying, I showed that I can handle a very difficult situation. I'll be able to handle this situation as well. When David is giving over the kingship to Shlomo HaMelech, he says to him, B'ni chazak v'amatz. And that's what you see again and again. That's what Moshe said to Yehoshua. That's what David says to Shlomo. Because you really do have to be very strong. And I'll say, go and accomplish. Al tirah v'al techaz. Don't fear. Don't be dismayed. Ki Hashem Elokim Elokai Imcha. And chazak v'amatz. You should be strong and don't be fearful. When Shlomo does become king, he's concerned. And he says to Hashem, Atahim lachtani al am rav ka'afar ha'aretz. You have made me king over a people that is a multitude. And he wants to be very careful. You have to respect the dignity of the individual, even when you're dealing with a multitude of people. And Shlomo HaMelech wants to make sure that he remembers both. You have to look at the klal, and you must look at the yachid. You must look at the individual as well. I must say that it's drush on my part, but I say, Rav, a nation's ready to fight, a very contentious nation, I'm Rav. But there's another meaning, and he says, L'shpot esamcha hazeh hagadol. That's what Shlomo is worried about. What is he telling Hashem? This is a people, each one of whom has his own opinion. And in fact, this is where we get the discussion about the Sanhedrin, Lamed Ches, Lamed Aleph. Adam Tolei Amadbea, if a person makes coins, if he makes a coin press, each coin comes out identical. But Hashem Yatzar Me Adam, Hashem made from Adam individuals. Everyone, Kishem She'em Parsifeyam Shavim Zelazeh, Kach Ein Da'asam, Da'atam Shavah. Just like their faces are not exactly alike, so their opinions are not exactly alike. Even identical twins, if you get to know them, you can tell the difference between them. Every single person, we all come from Adam's genes, and every single person has a distinctive individual look. And of course, Shlomo's concerned the Jewish people has a distinctive individual opinion. And he's concerned about that. And he wants help from Hashem. How do I respect the dignity of the individual? How do I not infringe on people's free will? At the same time, how can I be a proper leader of the Jewish people? We see a very important quality that's necessary in a Jewish leader, both in Yehuda through whom the kingship comes. And Rav Soloveitchik says that this episode is one of the reasons that his shevet, that his tribe, merits kingship. And through later episode with David, when Yehuda admits that Tamar was right, Vayaker Yehuda v'yomer tzadka mimeni, she has been more righteous than I, that qualified him for leadership. He recognized that he is not infallible. He is not always right. And that's what qualified him for leadership. He could admit a mistake. And the same thing happened with David HaMelech in that famous parak Nun Aleph, from which we get Hashem Sfasai Tivtach Ufi Yagid Yehil Secha, that we say before Shema Esrei three times a day. What did he say to Nasan HaNavi when Nasan came to him to tell him what a terrible mistake he made? He said, Ki fasha'ai ani eda, v'chatasi negdi tamid. I know I made a mistake. I know I sinned. Now I have to atone for it. That's what qualifies a Jewish leader for leadership. The ability to admit fault. There's only one perfect being, and the only perfect being is Hashem. All of us are imperfect. All of us make mistakes. But a Jewish leader has to be able to admit the mistake publicly, and rectify it. Then he qualifies for leadership. But he's going to pretend, he's going to blame others, and he's going to say, oh no, that already is not honest leadership. Honest leadership is, do your best, think creatively, try to take care of everyone, pay attention to the individual, try to help everyone fulfill mitzvos, a lot of qualifications, but don't think you're perfect. Always be trying to do better and admit it when there was a mistake. Those are some of the qualifications for Jewish leadership. Sounds daunting. It is. Okay, I'll take any questions now. Yes. And you are bringing up a most important consideration. You can't, a leader cannot be so humble and so modest and so letting everybody else have their say that ultimately he's not a leader. Everyone is walking over him and he's a doormat instead. That is exactly what Rav Soloveitchik is concerned about. That you can't be egotistic and you can't be overweening and demanding too much respect from people. On the other hand, if you have no sense of self, then you won't be able to lead at all. Really, Hillel said it all. Im ein ani li, mi li. If I'm not for myself, who's going to be for me? You have to find your core being. Your sense of you have core value and everyone else has core value. Im ani latzmi mani, but if I'm only out for myself, what am I? I'm part of a people. I'm part of something larger. Im lo achshav im asai. And if not now, when? In other words, you can't say somebody ought to do something. In Jewish life, the idea is you are somebody. Somebody ought to do something, you're somebody. Do something. I would think that the essence of Jewish life is really four words, five words. Think for yourself, do six words. Think for yourself, do for others. Think for yourself. Have original ideas. But you have to think of how can you help others with your original ideas. That to me is the essence of Jewish life. Yes? Hakar Satov. Hakar Satov goes always. The leader has to appreciate his people and what they're doing, and they have to appreciate him. But I saw this quoted in the name of Houdini, the magician, but I think that the magic, you know, the incredible escape artist, I think he was quoting someone else. He said, if you want to get appreciation, if you want to find appreciation, look in the dictionary. Okay? Appreciation is somehow not a natural human quality. I don't know why.
And I think it's the rare parent who actually hears at the time of doing things from a child, I really appreciate that. And it's a wonderful thing when you hear that. It's extremely gratifying. And it's a nice midah to cultivate, hakaras hatov. Yes, the leader should be receiving that from the people. Most likely will not. Yeah. Yes. Okay, yes, think for yourself, but do consult if you feel it's something that involves more Torah knowledge. Consult with someone who knows more, because Torah knowledge is an amazing thing. As I get older, and I see more and more the incredible wisdom of everything that the Torah has ordained for us, it makes me more and more thankful for knowledge and more eager to get more knowledge. There are reasons for everything. For example, when I hear that Poland has outlawed kosher shechita, I have to wonder to myself, nobody who voted for that ban on shechita has ever been inside a kosher slaughterhouse. Because if they had gone inside and they had seen all the restraints that are in place to make sure that shechita should be as compassionate as possible, yes, ultimately the purpose of shechita is, unfortunately, to kill an animal so that we can eat its meat. That is the purpose. But how is it done? One animal is not allowed to see another animal get killed. One is not allowed to kill one animal and its offspring in the same day. The shechita has to be done with a knife that's so sharp that it cuts through without a single nick, immediately cuts through the artery that supplies blood to the brain, so that the animal should feel no pain at all. It's in a properly run slaughterhouse, the shochtim, every certain amount of time, every half hour, have a 10 to 20 minute break just to rest their arms, because they have to be so strong when they make the cut, they shouldn't be at all shaking in any way. Just one interesting side story about this that I heard from my parents. A person in Europe wanted to become a shochet, so he studied all the halachos, and he went to a rav to be tested and to get the cloth that would say that he's a proper shochet. So he answered all the questions, he showed his chalaf, he showed his knife, it was sharp as could be, he answered all the different questions about different shilos, different questions that might arise, and then the rav asked him, what will you think in the moment before you shech the animal? And he said, I don't know, what am I supposed to think? The Rav said, you should think, I hope the butchers will pay me on time. So the shochet asked, why should I be thinking that? He said, because the butchers will sell the meat, and they will get paid by the balabastas for the meat. But if the butchers don't pay you in turn, you'll come home on Thursday night, and your wife will say, where's the money to buy food for Shabbos? And you'll say, I haven't been paid yet. And your wife will be very upset. So your hand will tremble at the thought of the fight that is coming with your wife if you weren't paid. So think to yourself, I hope the butchers pay me on time so I can come home to a peaceful Thursday night and my family can have a proper Shabbos. What did that rav show in leadership? He showed a real understanding of practical life. And that is what our greatest Talmidei Chachamim have always had. A real understanding of what life is all about, the challenges that we face, and within halacha, how to handle those challenges. Yes. Susan and I both grew up in Elizabeth. Yeah. I'll repeat what you said. Go ahead. Susan is bringing up a very important point. Those of us who are over 40 years old had the distinct privilege, the real zechus, of seeing such people as Rav Breuer, Rav Soloveitchik, my father, Rav Eliezer Silver, Rav Yosef Eliel Henkin. I could go on and on. Rav Moshe Feinstein. We saw people who really were, I'm leaving out names, not by intent, but because Baruch Hashem, there were a lot of names. We really had leaders that were trusted and that were respected wherever they turned. And that was a wonderful thing. And these leaders are very accessible. My husband once had a question to ask during Sphira, and this was over 60 years ago. He dialed Rav Moshe Feinstein's telephone number, and who answered? Rav Moshe Feinstein. And he was able to ask the Shaila, and Rav Moshe asked him a few questions and gave him the answer. That was such a rare experience, but that was the experience that you could have over 40 years ago. In fact, when my husband and I were living in Chicago, I have a friend who actually called to speak to Rebbe Ella Soloveitchik, but Rav Aaron Soloveitchik answered the phone. And she was so surprised that he was answering the phone in his home. She said, "Oh, Rav Aaron, I didn't expect you to answer." And her husband said, "Don't say Rav Aaron, say Rav Soloveitchik," because she was so overwhelmed that that's who was answering the phone. Yeah, that's who we had. And right now, there are people who are growing into those positions. Because you have to remember that when we recognize them that way, most of them are already in their 60s or 70s. They had not been recognized earlier. It takes time to grow as a Jewish leader. You're very young if you're recognized as a Jewish leader when you're only in your 50s. So let's see what's going to happen. We have to see who is coming up. Hashem never leaves the Jewish people unattended to. So we have to see who is going to be revealed as the next leaders that have this kind of respect among the Jewish people. You'll notice something, though, about each of these people. Each one of them was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. And ultimately, that is the sine qua non, the elemental quality that a Jewish leader must have. Any other questions? Okay, let's watch and see what's going to happen. Okay? Thank you.